Sailors and Marines of the United Nations, a special rebroadcast with John Cotty, Harlow Wilcox, Frank Tours and his orchestra, Hanley Stafford as Daddy, Fanny Bryce as Baby Snook, and Frank Morgan.
A gay ranchero, a caballero, can always find someone to pet. A señorita, a sweet pepita, her other love will soon forget. If he's insistent and she's not distant, the señorita will confess. A gay ranchero, a caballero, need only ask and she'll say yes. Soon there'll be a fiesta with a blushing bride and a gay ranchero standing by her side. If they find the promise that they have in store, they'll be counting little chicos by the score. A gay ranchero, a caballero, she'll tell the world of how they met. This gay ranchero, this caballero, says he has nothing to regret.
Gentlemen, thank you and good evening, everyone.
Good evening, John. What's on the agenda for tonight?
Well, Jersey, having yelled myself hoarse at the local Golden Gloves tournament recently, I thought it might be interesting to interview one of the boys. To be specific, he's a former Golden Gloves featherweight champion, Mr. Eddie Marcus.
Thanks, Johnny.
Eddie, tell me, what started you out as a slug and slap merchant anyway?
Church is la femme, in other words, a dame.
Poor Eddie, does your wife beat you up, too?
I don't mean that, Mr. Tours. I mean, when I was around 17, I was forced to hang one on a guy who insulted the girl I was with.
Mm.
She was so impressed that she thought I had to make a career out of it. So I started in a fight game, won my first 18 fights, lost the 19th, and then won the next 49.
Oh, inconsistent, eh?
Quiet, sure. Then what, Eddie? The Golden Gloves competition?
Right. Yeah, that's right. And my first big opportunity, I won the Tri-City matches between Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and then went to Boston and KO'd the Eastern and Western champs. And after that, I was Golden Gloves featherweight champion.
Well, it sounds very easy the way you tell it. What's on your schedule for the future, Eddie?
Well, I'm a professional now. And I've got my eye on a match with the number one boy.
I see.
I'd like to be champion of the world, for what there's left of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're off to a flying start, certainly. What's your recipe for success in the ring, Eddie?
Oh, I guess, John, a stiff left jab's about as good as any. I've worked plenty on that. And believe me, in a tough scrap where it's nip and tuck all the way, I'm glad I've got that recipe for a hard punch.
So am I. Mix up a batch, we all have a quick one.
Greetings, my adult amigos. And is this the man with the recipe for the nip and tuck punch?
Nip and tuck?
Certainly. One nip and they tuck you away for the night. I was given my recipe by a lady barber in Cucamonga.
Cute little shaver.
You're way off the beam, Joe. I was talking to our guest, Eddie Marcus, about fighting.
Yes, I was telling the boys I'm looking for a fight.
Oh, so you're a troublemaker, eh, Marcus? Came in here with a chip on your shoulder, did you? Well, perhaps you haven't heard I'm a formidable adversary in a rough and tumble. For every punch you throw, I've got a better one. For every blow you attempt, I've got a blow.
Eddie is a Golden Gloves champion.
Well, I don't... I got a blow.
Come back! Come on, Pancho. Eddie isn't going to take advantage of you.
Take advantage of the old master? This battle-scarred veteran of the Fistic Wars?
Pancho.
What?
Are you trying to tell us you were a boxer?
Well, that depends on whether you mean boxing, the art of attack and defense with padded gloves, fathered by Broughton in the 18th century, or pugilism, the professional sport dating from the Roman use of the caestus, with its Gaelic offshoots, le chausson and la savate.
Well, get him.
I myself was a pugilist, however, and I have a list of knockouts that will amaze you.
You have?
Yes,
where's your list of knockouts? In the big record book in New York?
No, in my little black book in Hollywood.
You couldn't punch your way out of a wet paper bag.
I ignore you, jockey. A pastime which ranks high on Hobby Lobby.
Thank you.
As I was saying, Eddie, before being interrupted with by this vacuum packed Crosby, before you stands the man who knocked out Purple, the wild bull of the Pampas, in two rounds.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Morgan.
Yes,
now, wait a minute. Louis Purple was KO'd by Jack Dempsey in New York, September 14, 1923.
So the accepted version goes. But now that both participants have retired, I feel free to tell the true story of that classic encounter.
Frank,
yes.
You mean that you... Oh, no!
See, but yes!
You dare to claim it was you who knocked out Furpo in 1923?
Oh, yeah. He's so sincere. Eddie, as a boxer, this story will astound you. Just pull up a rabbit punch and sit down. I am but one of many devotees of the squared circle stemming from the House of Morgan. From the halcyon days of my great-grandfather, Grass Jaw Morgan, down to my Uncle Footwork. Bit of a heel. Pretty corny.
Was he heavyweight or middleweight, Mr. Morgan?
Both. His heavyweight was around the middle. Starting as an unknown, he rapidly became a complete non-entity.
Oh,
and retired after a long succession of hard-fought battles.
Why? Punchy?
No, paunchy. Springing from such a hardy stock, I was prenatally ordained to pugilism. And was tutored in the rudiments of the manly art by a distant cousin whose career in the ring had earned him the sobriquet Ace in the Hole Morgan.
Why'd they call him Ace in the Hole?
Well, he was always face down. In a short time, I was even more skilled than my mentor, so I embarked on my pugilistic career.
I
trained rigidly on a Spartan diet of raw spinach and soon was noted for my grip. After winning several close decisions, I was matched with one of the toughest heavyweights of the day, a plug ugly named Terrible Tommy. But my star was in the ascendant, and I won the bout on a TKP.
You mean a TKO, technical knockout?
No, I mean TKP. Tommy caught pneumonia. From this point on, my rise was rapid as I slugged my way toward the top. And after eliminating every contender, I signed to fight for the championship of the world. But on that very day, fate took a hand.
Yes?
I met Stephanie.
A woman.
I went on that assumption, yes. She was a ravishing bit of cheesy, although a trifle muscle-bound. She was a professional athlete like myself.
Fighter?
No, I didn't have to. She loved to neck and I... Oh! As a matter of fact, jockey, she played on a girls' football team and was adept at intercepting passes.
Oh, I see.
We became engaged, but I knew that I'd have to get something off my chest before I married Stephanie.
What, confession?
No, a tattooed heart with Mabel on it.
Oh.
In my mad infatuation for the girl, I made the fatal mistake others had made before me and spent my nights in riotous living instead of training for the big fight.
That's bad business, Mr. Morgan.
As I learned to my sorrow. On the day of the fight, I was a burned-out husk. Yet being a Morgan, I entered the ring to fight for the champion with a chip on my shoulder. Nearly more than a chip, a block.
Well, what happened?
He knocked my block off. Yes, my friends, I had tossed away my great opportunity for a woman. And like the jade she was, she left me.
Oh.
Shattered, I lost fight after fight until I became a shabby derelict of the prize ring. But one man had faith in me, Jack Dempsey.
Aha, now it's going to come out.
Jack, then champion of the world, as I could easily have been,
yes,
took me on as his sparring partner and trainer for the purple bout. We concentrated on road work and daily jogged 10 miles down the dusty road that led past a large girls' seminary.
Girls' seminary, huh?
Yes, and as we passed it on our daily round, Jack would always pick up a little speed while I picked up a little blonde. In doing this, I capitalized on my amazing resemblance to Dempsey, as with my hair cut short and a stubble of beard, it was impossible to tell us apart. I was a little more muscular, of course.
Of course.
Even on the day of the fight, I posed as Dempsey, wearing his trunks and robe, to interview the press while he rested in another dressing room. Then the historic moment came. Round one. Dempsey leaped to the center of the ring, stalking his huge adversary like the tiger he was, as I watched breathlessly sitting on Jack's stool in his corner. A thudding exchange of blows, the crash of a falling body.
Purple was down?
No, I was down. I fell off the stool. Round two. Again, the Manassas Mauler lived up to his name, battering Purple with everything he had. Then, a careless moment, a relaxed guard, and Purple landed a sledgehammer blow, knocking Jack out of the ring. Consternation.
Pandemonium. Murder.
Jack fell almost at my feet, hitting his head on the floor. I sensed at once that my friend, my benefactor, he who had given me back my self-respect, was in dire straits. There was but one thing to do.
And naturally, you did it.
Yes.
What was it
that saved the name of Dempsey for posterity? I shoved him under the seats, leaped into the ring, and knocked Burpo out for the championship of the world.
Hey, you kidding?
If you doubt me, I'll show you Dempsey's old trunk, the seat of which bears the inscription, Aisle 4.
Just a minute, the telephone, I'll get it. And don't go away, Morgan. Hello?
What?
Yes, he's here, and how?
Who's here?
Who?
Who is it?
Oh.
What?
It's for you, Frankie.
No, that was for me?
Jack Dempsey calling.
Oh. You take it, Jockey.
I'm a little hoarse. Never mind the true confession, Sponsor. Just get on the phone.
Phone?
Yes.
Oh. Well, yes. I'll hello, Jackie. I'm sorry. Hello, Mr. Dempsey. Yes, Mr. Dempsey. No, Mr. Dempsey. Oh, yes. No. Well, I didn't. You do. Pack a lie, falsification, perjury. What? Ooh, I've. Black eyes. Breakneck ribs. Mincemeat. Yes, sir. I'll be there. Yes. Goodbye.
Well, my prince of frauds. At last, you've stuck your neck out far enough for someone to break it off.
On the contrary, Jockey. It was a friendly call. Jack's coming into town. He wants me to keep an evening free to play knock rummy.
Knock rummy?
Yes.
Then why are you shaking in your boots?
Well, I'm the rummy he's going to knock. Well, put on the...
John Strong this evening is from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, A Guy Named Joe. The title, I'll Get By. Frank Torres conducting.
everything. Do you mean what you are saying? Or is this a little game you're playing? My heart tells me I will cry again. Lips that kiss like yours could lie again. If I'm old enough to see this through, will I be sorry if I do? Should I believe my heart or you?
Jersey,
don't you know? Today is the day that Snooks gets her screen test.
Well, whoever the poor director is, he gets my sympathy.
Hello, J.G. This is Mac. Listen, what do you want to do, kill me? I've been on the set with that kid since 7 o'clock this morning. Now we've shot enough film for Gone with the Wind, and she can't get one line right. Well, okay, we've gone this far. We might as well try it again. Okay, if I'm not home by midnight, send an ambulance. Hey, Art, tell Higgins they have that zombie of his on the set in 2 minutes.
Right. Shoot him in 2 minutes, Mr. Higgins. We'll be ready.
No, for the love of heaven, stop crying.
I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
They're going to shoot me again.
Nobody's going to shoot you.
Yeah.
It's just a technical term, and I could cut my tongue out for ever having used it.
You want a scissors, Daddy? No, I don't want a scissors. Then how are you
going to
cut out?
I'm not. I need my tongue and what little voice I have left. Snooks, why can't you get that one simple line right? The Confederate soldier staggers in and you say, tarry a while. You look footsore and weary.
Tarry a while. You look footsore and weary.
That's it. That's it. You do it in the dressing room, and what do you say on the set?
Footwear and shoes.
Exactly. And why?
Because I'm a perverse, obstinate child.
That's my line.
I like that one better.
Snooks, why won't you play ball? You're throwing a fortune out the window. Haven't I always been a good daddy to you?
You're a very sweet old daddy, Daddy.
Then why don't you do the scene right?
Because that man scared me.
Which man?
The man with the horn growing out of his chin.
That's not a horn. It's a megaphone. He's the director.
Well, he talks too much.
He's got to talk.
Why?
Because he's trying to ram something into your skull.
Is that what the horn is for?
Look, why do you aggravate me that way?
Is there another way?
We've got just about half a minute. If you can't remember your line, at least remember the character.
What character?
The character of the part you're playing. You're a little southern girl named Petunia.
Petunia?
No, Petunia.
What's the difference?
You make it sound like a cuspidor.
How should it sound?
Southern, that's how. Southerners say y'all and shown up. Now, try to mimic it.
Mimic?
Yes. You know what a mimic is, don't you?
Mm-hmm. A mimic is 60 seconds. Oh.
Now, mimic means imitate. Now, say these words after me. Show now.
Show now.
You all.
You all.
Would you all care for a mint julep?
Show now.
Isn't so bad. Why can't you do that on the set?
I don't know. I get scared.
Scared of what?
The man with the horn.
Forget that nonsense. I'll just try your lines with me. I'll feed you.
I'm hungry.
Oh. Not food. I'm going to feed you your lines. What's the matter?
Now you're going to feed me to the lion.
No such luck. Look, we'll take another crack at that test. Maybe you'll have a brainstorm.
What's a brainstorm, Daddy?
A brainstorm is what I had when I brought you out here.
Ready, Mr. Higgins?
Oh, yes. I think she knows the lines this time. All right, look, get out there and kill him.
How can I kill him when you're going to shoot me first?
Go ahead.
Okay, roll it. Higgins test, take 250. Ready? Action!
Two arms! Call your father, little girl. We're heading across the hills to cut off Grant.
Then carry a while. You are...
Foot sore and weary.
Foot well and sorry.
Oh, look, little girl, what's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Then why can't you remember a few words?
I got a stomachache.
Oh, you've got a stomachache. And where did you get that?
In my stomach.
Let me handle this.
You've butt out. You've done enough handling for one day. Now listen, Snooks, it's very simple. The Confederate soldier comes in and says we're heading across the hills to cut off Grant.
Harry Grant?
No, General Grant.
Who's he?
He was a Civil War general.
Why?
How do I know why? He was a Civil War general and the leader of the Union forces.
Who?
The man we've been talking about.
What man?
General Grant!
Let me handle this.
Oh, shut up. Now, all you've got to get right, Snooks, are the words footsore and weary.
Footsore and weary.
No. Well, that's close enough. And try to make it sound like a little southern bell.
A little bell?
That's right.
Clank, clank, clank.
No, not that kind of a bell. A southern bell. You know how a southern bell talks, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, try it.
Clang, clang, you all.
Oh, God.
Well, look, that's an understandable error. She's thinking of the Liberty Bell.
Exactly. The Liberty Bell is cracked and so is she. Listen, I'll try to paint the whole picture for you. Your father's an old man. He's upstairs, sick in bed. So weak he can hardly move. But under your tender care, he's getting well. Now, this soldier wants him to get up out of a sick bed and rush into battle. But you won't let him. But he insists. You refuse. What is this? Why do you keep laughing and crying?
Because you keep stepping on my foot.
Well, please, Mr. Partridge, give her one more chance. She'll get it right this time, I promise.
Okay, we'll try one more. Roll him. Higgins says, take 251. Ready? Action.
to arms. Call your father, little girl. We're heading across the hills to cut off Grant.
Huh?
I said, call your father, little girl.
Grant, come you all. No good?
Well, what happened this time? What became of Footsore and Weary?
Maybe they went home. Yep.
That does it. Take her away before I commit mayhem.
Why is that man jumping up and down, Dad?
Take her away, I say. She's a menace, a menace.
Ah, just a minute. You can't talk about my child that way.
Oh, I can't I?
No, you can't.
Chuck him, Daddy. He's only a little guy.
Come along, you. We don't need this broken-down studio. There are plenty of others.
I want to go home to Mommy.
Well, you're not going home to Mommy till you've taken a screen test somewhere. We came 3,000 miles for this. And as your father, I owe it to you.
You owe it to me?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to pay me now. Let's go home.
No.
Yes.
No.
I want to go home to my Mommy.
Oh, what's the use? So we'll go home. In case it interests you, we may have to walk home.
We'll go away from California?
Unless I can wire for funds.
Is it far?
Plenty far.
Then we'll be like that poor old soldier, won't we, Daddy?
How?
Footsore and weary.
Broadcast of the Fanny Bryce, Frank Morgan Show is a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.